All right, good evening, everybody. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in Matthew chapter 6. And we have three different approaches here: giving, praying, and fasting. And the whole idea, you could almost sum this up by saying, You can do the right things for the wrong reason, and if you're doing the right things to impress others or to elevate yourself, then enjoy it, because that's all you're going to get out of it. If you really want to glorify God and if you want to be blessed by God, then you need to make sure that He's the one who is being elevated and He's the one who's being glorified. So we talked a little bit about be careful, it says, verse 1, how you do your acts of righteousness, how you do your alms, how you do your charitable deeds. So if you give this the wrong way, it says you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. And he goes on to describe three different areas: giving, praying, and fasting. And we've talked about the giving, being generous givers in last week. Now we're going to talk about pray continually. God expects his children to pray continually. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, this won't be on the screen. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corner to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not go on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as earth on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We'll stop there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, pray continually. But the reason for our prayers is just as important as the prayers themselves. If we're praying to be seen and heard, then that's all we're going to get. Now, he says, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then the Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Is it a sin to pray in public? Is it a sin to pray? Is it a sin to go to Black Gold and lead prayers with fairgoers? So, what's the point Jesus is making here? If that's not the problem, if it's not a sin to pray standing up or in public, in the synagogues, on the street corners, then where is the sin? A prayer that's not to God is not a prayer. You ever had a conversation with somebody that you really wanted a two-way conversation? They were just using you to bounce off their own ideas. Let me just say what I want to say, and let me hear myself say it, and let you enjoy my great wisdom and knowledge. So let me just have this conversation, and you just sit there and be the bouncing. That's kind of what it's like when we're praying. It's not really a prayer, right? We're praying for people to be impressed. Don't put on airs. Yeah, don't put on airs. Don't be pretentious. Don't. Okay. Yes. Right. You do pray continually when it's about the kids and they're in harm's way. Absolutely. Yeah. Praying at the restaurant when food comes to the table, praying at a ball game, praying. Yeah. So it's interesting. Okay, so what kind of scenario is Jesus dealing with when he feels like he needs to be this cautionary? Pray in secret. He's going to talk about don't do your left hand, know what your right hand's doing in almsgiving. If you're fasting, don't wear sackcloth and ashes. All your face and head, and go about with a smile. He's continually suggesting. Oh, I want to say privacy. He's continually suggesting. I'm sorry. Okay, humility. Okay, all right. Is he suggesting? Is the contrast between public and private, or that seems to be the language? Public and private, or making it publicly known, or dealing with it on the inside, or is what's underlying that pridefulness or humility? Is that where he's trying to lead this? Is he dealing with people who are prideful? I'm sorry. A problem with pride, or a problem with praying, or a problem with each of these aspects? The way they're doing it. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I go into the temple and I take my coins and I drop them down and make a big show of it and impress everybody with how generous and gracious I am and how wonderful I am. Hypocrites. Oh. Thank goodness that died with the Old Testament. We don't have to worry about that in the New Covenant. Hypocrites. What's the difference between a hypocrite and you and me? Hopefully there is one. What's the difference between you and me and a hypocrite? We go to church. We're Sunday night people. That means we're gooder than just the Sunday morning people, right? I say that with all humility. I'm sorry. We can point them out. We can point out the ones that were gooder than. What's the difference between us and if we're not hypocrites? No, we're not. Then what's the difference? Practice what you preach. Okay? Practice what you preach. At least make an effort to practice what you preach. Maybe not only are we people who try to live out what we say we believe, but we live it out humbly. That we don't say we're gooder or better than somebody else. We don't point out who we think we're better than. We don't think we're better than. Are we sinners just like the hypocrites are sinners? Anybody want to claim they're without sin? We're sinners. They're sinners. Maybe we understand that and are humbled by that and grateful for God's grace and mercy. Rather than, I did an illustration one time, and I haven't done it since because people got worried about me up on a ladder. I had a ladder, had an 8-foot aluminum ladder, and put it up there. And the illustration was, you know, sometimes we tend to think, I'm not perfect. I would never claim to be perfect, but I'm not horrible, not most days. And so, if the top of the ladder is heaven and the bottom of the ladder is earth, then maybe I can get. One step, two steps. I'd be good enough to get three steps up the ladder toward heaven. Now I'm going to need God's grace to finish that, but I can get maybe a few steps on my own. And if we're not hypocrites, then we understand that the only reason we have a ladder, much less be able to take steps on a ladder by the grace of God, by His blood. So the fine line is we need to appreciate that we're sinners just like hypocrites, but maybe we need to own that a little better than they own it and work at humble and gracious for God for His grace and mercy. I think that really kind of what plays into here. You had a hand in indigo. Did I talk all the way over it, Stuart? Yeah. 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 If somebody shows up in sackcloth and ashes with a really pained look on their face, then you know something's going on. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Look at verse 7. One wrong motive for praying is to impress people. Another wrong motive for praying is to try to manipulate God, verse 7. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. I haven't heard it recently, but when I was a kid, there seemed to be kind of a contest between some of the more senior members of the church as to how long they could pray and how many, and I haven't seen that in a long, long time. But that, a lot of words being used I didn't know and wasn't sure what they were doing with that. And maybe I was just a less patient youngster than I am an impatient oldster. But it just seemed like there was just kind of this contest on how long can we make our prayers. And I haven't seen it in a long time, so either I've grown out of it or somebody else has. But the idea of to keep on babbling. By the way, that finds its roots in pagan worship. Now remember, idols are simply humans recreating a deity in their own image. Idols are just simply me taking what I believe and what I think and what's important to me and turn it into an idol. And so when you look at it from that perspective, when you look at babbling from those eyes, how many people have you had just try to wear you down with a bunch of words? And so if it works for you, if I can win the argument by controlling the floor, then why can't I do that with my idol? I can win the battle by controlling the floor. So I'll just keep throwing words at my idol until he gets what he wants. The parable we talked about in our class, Seeker's class this morning, the parable of the persistent widow. And it's not about let's wear God down. It's about if the judge is lazy and incompetent and doesn't care, and the widow has to wear him down to get justice, and he doesn't even seek to give her justice, he just wants to shut her up. How opposite of that is God, who is loving and caring and will respond. And so the idea is if you start babbling, you're going to sound like an idolater, a pagan of idol worshiper, because they think they can manipulate their idol that way. So don't be that. Such hypocrites, it says in verse 7, are pretenders, have received their reward in full. So there's the call there. Let's look for just a minute at the Lord's Prayer. Don't be like them, the pagans. Okay, verse 8. I'm going to read from the Old NIV. You tell me if you have something measurably different from what I have. Do not be like them. These are the pagans. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Everybody have something similar to that? All right. Another question. If God knows what I need before I ask Him, then why ask? Because we're told to? Yeah. That sounds like one of my parents. Because I said so. It works. Right? Is there anything? Can we add anything but two? Because I said so? Because he said so? Not only does prayer express a relationship with God, it expresses a dependency on God. Have you ever had one of, if you've raised kids or if you've taught kids or if you've been around kids, that moment when you realize this is a teachable moment and there's a window open? Why does this work this way? Now, we can explain to Junior why this works this way, but if Junior didn't ask and is not interested, then it's going to land on deaf ears. But if Junior asks, why does this work this way, we've got a teachable moment. Often with our kids, we know what they need before they know it. We know they need a nap before they know they are willing to admit they need a nap. We know that they need... Did you have a hand? Yeah. You can talk to your blue in the face, and if they're not ready to listen, none of it penetrates. And so when we all go to God and say, I need this. I thank you for this. I ask you to work on me with this. Then that's probably as much a clue to us that this is a teachable moment and there's a window of opportunity as it is to God. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. But it's a signal between the two of us with this conversation, this intimacy, saying, okay, here's a teachable moment. Here's a chance for us to begin to have a conversation. So verse 8, do not be like the pagans, for your Father knows what you need before them. This then is how you should pray. So you've heard, if you've been in the church for a while, you've heard a million lessons on the Lord's Prayer. So you guys teach me. What are the salient points we need to draw out of this Lord's Prayer? This then is how you should pray. Verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Right. Bruce, what are we going to learn out of that? Starts with praise. Doesn't start with gimme, gimme. It starts with holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Who was and is to come. Yeah. Praise to God. I was going to ask, but I'm not going to ask. I'll just confess. It took me way too long to learn to start my prayers with praise and not with requests. Much longer than it should have. Starts with praise. We give you glory for who you are. We recognize who you are. We confess who you are. We give you glory for who you are. We start with that. All right, what else? Y'all can teach the Lord's Prayer in your sleep. Relationship. Yes. All right. You're God, I'm not. And maybe you're God and thank you for reminding me I'm not. Those have been a few of my prayers. So we have hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, verse 10, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Father, please let your will reign in my life, in my heart, in my family, and in my world. And please use me to let your will reign in whatever way you see fit. Have you ever prayed, God, your will be done, and please give me the courage to accept what your will is? Because God doesn't always answer the way we'd like for him to. So God, your will be done. But help me to remain faithful within that. Help me to stay true to you within that. And here's one that we, if we pray it, we struggle with meaning it. Give us today our daily bread. How many of us would feel stressed if God only provided enough of our daily needs to get us through today? We had no concrete assurance that he would provide tomorrow what we need for tomorrow. Our cupboard's empty, our gas tank's empty, our bank account's empty, and we're just going to trust him to cover tomorrow. How many of us would feel stressed by that? Me first. But that's what we're told to pray for. And it hearkens back to what? What's he hearkening back to? What's he reminding his hearers about? Total reliance that was taught in the wilderness. A 40-year lesson in the wilderness. Here's manna. More tomorrow. Because what you have today won't keep. We're supposed to be people who are content. If I've got enough to get through the day, that's all I need. and I'll trust God for tomorrow. That's how Jesus teaches us to pray. Okay, there was a hand. Bruce, you had a hand. I talked right over you. Okay, your kingdom come. How many people in his audience, how many of the original hearers knew when he said, your kingdom come, they understood the kingdom? Yeah. I suspect the number's not great. There's still debate of what he means by kingdom come. Is it the kingdom that came in Acts 2? Is it the kingdom that comes at Christ's return? Is it somewhere in between? Yeah. The expectation was of a different kingdom, and even among the disciples, until the resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit, there was even then there was still a learning curve, but they were much in the darkness. Yeah. Thank you, Bruce. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Again, if we pray this and mean it, that's a mature faith. What what he's saying here is, we're asking you, Father, to practice with us the forgiveness that we practice with others. That's how I read it. Forgive us our debts as we, in like manner. Please do a better job of forgiving me than I forgive others. Yeah. We were all thinking it. I appreciate your grace and mercy, but don't expect me to do that with her, but with the people who have offended me. If this prayer is loaded, absolutely loaded. This is not the only place in the New Testament where Scripture teaches us that we're teaching God how to treat us. The way we treat others is God's taking notes, and that's how he is going to treat us. So forgive us as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Yes, okay, all right. Any other thoughts, Larry? Okay. God knows what we need. He knows who we're praying for and what we're praying for them about. Yes, God wants to hear from us. Yeah. If we're concerned about somebody, we want to hear from them, and we want them to hear from us. There's probably no greater gift than a child can give their parent than sitting down than actually listening and hearing them, spending time, and not just talking at them, but hearing and having a conversation with them. I like that illustration I gave this morning about the young lawyer said his dad getting 365 hours a year. That's a glorious gift. So, all right, God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt others. I don't have my notes where that's at. I see that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So let's do this. Job. What was the catalyst that brought the hardship to Job? Trials? Okay. And what started the trials? The devil. And how did the devil get Job's name? God. Angels come before God in heaven. Devil's there. A lot of them don't know about that. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? Do you suppose God might have known what Satan would want to do with that when he threw that name out there? Or do you think God was caught by surprise? Oh, I didn't mean for you to pick on him. I just wanted you to look at him. Did God lead Job into temptation? If God can't be tempted, nor does he tempt others, the answer has to be no. But here's the challenge. The same event, the same trial, can be used by Satan to tempt us and by God to test us. God wants us to pass the test. Satan wants us to give in to the temptation. If we give in to the temptation, that damages our relationship with God. If we pass the test, that strengthens our relationship with God. He said, have you considered my servant Job? I believe he said, have you considered my servant Job? Because Job was the most faithful man in his generation, and God was confident Job could pass the test. He could not give in to the temptation. And not only would Job come out on the back end of that even more spiritually strong than he was before. But if you're already number one, and you just get to be number one by a length now, he would become the model for everyone to follow of what it looks like faithfully endure testing. God allowed him to be tested through Satan's tempting, and he came out better on the backside of that. When we find hardships, what we might see Satan as testing, God allows it, and this may not set well with everyone, but nothing happens that God doesn't know about and allow. So if Satan is trying to tempt us into destroying our faith, God's allowing it as a test to build our faith. I kind of wonder if that's not what's being said here. God, please don't pull a Job on me. I'm okay with that prayer. Please don't pull a Job on me. But deliver me from the evil one. Yes. Yeah, don't lead me through trials so deep that it would tempt me to be unfaithful. Yeah, I'm okay with little trials. I'm sorry? Yeah, yeah. Hold us up. Pick us up. When Peter's the only dude who says, I want to come out to you in the boat. All the others were perfectly happy, or they were more happy on the boat than they were thinking about being on the rough seas. Peter's like, hey, if you're out there, I want to be out there. And he gets the bad rap because he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink, but he's the only one that had the courage to step on the water. Kind of where you're going with that. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts? Yes. It's a two-way street. Yeah. And we're working on the premise here, and I think we've had this conversation. We're working on the premise that forgiveness is the purpose of forgiveness is restoration, restoring broken relationship. So everyone can offer forgiveness, and we should always be like the Father holding out the offer of forgiveness, but in order for forgiveness to be complete, for the relationship to be mended, someone has to accept it. So is that where you're going with that? Yeah. All right, good. Bruce. Good. Yes. Omniscient. Okay, man. All right. I have an answer for that that even I'm not really happy with. And then he told Job's friends, you messed up, you misrepresented me, but Job didn't. And Job's like, I know there's got to be a fair God up there somewhere, because the God I'm dealing with right now is not fair. I want to take the unfair God to court, because I know there's a fair one up there somewhere. And God said, Job, you dealt with me fairly. And he said, Job, if he told his friends, if Job prays for you, we'll be all right. So Job becomes the reconciler, the redeemer in that story. All right, Bruce. I'm gonna answer. I'm gonna answer a question with a question. God is omniscient. God is, well, yeah, join the crowd. God is omniscient, omnipotent, and all present, all knowing, all powerful. But there are some fascinating passages in Scripture that suggests that, let me do a what if. What if this omniscient God says, I want to experience this with you. I'm going to go on this journey with you. You're welcome to reject this, but it's just, if you don't like what I'm saying, it's all Bruce's fault. Abraham, I want you to offer your son Isaac. Goes there, builds the altar. Isaac on the altar, raises the knife, says, now stop. What did you say after stop? Now I know. Didn't the omniscient God already know? And so, but well, he was saying it really for Abraham's benefit. He doesn't say, now you know. Now I know. Have you ever, okay. One of the most funnest things in the world, the gooder thing, one of the most funnest things in the world, I'm using all the proper grammar, is to take somebody. We took some friends of ours who'd never been to Colorado, and took them to the Rocky Mountains. Loved seeing the Rocky Mountains through their eyes. Wow. Just wow. We've seen it. They'd go to the Rocky Mountains since we were kids. They're still grand. The 14ers are still the 14ers. I mean, they never lose their grandeur. But to see it through fresh eyes was just amazing. What if God kind of enjoys doing that with us? Now I know. Now that I know that you love me enough not even to withhold your son from me. You do with that what you want to? I'm just saying, what if? What if he likes to explore sometimes through our eyes instead of sitting in the comfort of omniscience? There's more examples than that, but that's just the one that comes to the top of my head. All right, so enough asking me questions. It's my job to ask you questions. Nothing is just random, and it all serves a purpose. A teaching moment, a learning example. Yes, absolutely. And recorded in Scripture, which means the Holy Spirit goes, we should learn something from this. So you're saying I've been strange all day? Is that what you're saying? your kids. Yeah. God loves us enough to take us wherever He finds us, but He loves us too much to leave us there. Okay. All right. The longer version is, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, beginning and end with praise. And then we have this little footnote about forgiving. Verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that's more than just saying, I'm going to ignore it. That's saying, I want a restored relationship. I want to fix the connection that was broken. So if we're not willing to do that with others, then God says, don't expect it from Him. That's a tough sermon. But also full of promise and hope. Anybody have any other thoughts? Let's close with a prayer. Almighty God, we do give You praise and glory for being the God who creates all things and sustains all things. Scripture says, in You we have our breath and life. And so we're grateful for the life You've given us. We're grateful for the blessings You've brought us. We're grateful for days to celebrate our moms and our dads and our Thanksgiving and our hopes and our dreams. And just, we are amazed at how richly You can bless us as broken and fallen people in a broken and fallen world. We give You all praise and all glory. We're grateful for Your love for us, that we can rest in that love, confident of the sacrifice that Your Son made, that His sacrifice is sufficient to cover our sins, and that our faith in Him is Your call for our reward in heaven. Father, we ask You to strengthen us in our weakness, to use us, to empower us with Your abilities. Give us the courage to be faithful no matter what comes. Help us to be light and salt. And Father, bring us home. And we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, church. We're dismissed.